listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Anthaskathulia, Talitin, Homasque Mustail. On Saturday, September 26th, Seattle indie rock band Chastity Belt are playing at the Biltmore Cabaret with guests Le Chaussette and Strange Wilds. Chastity Belt is on tour to support their new album, Time to Go Home, on Harley Art Records. This is an early show. Doors at 7 p.m., curfew at 11 p.m. Tickets are $12 in advance and available online at ticketweb.ca. Tickets are also available at Red Cat Records and Zulu Records. Sponsored by CITR.
Hello, hello. You are listening to A Face for Radio. My name is Eric. I'm your host. How is it going, face heads? I've decided to start using that. That will be, I think, the affectionate moniker for listeners of the show. I Radioheads would make the most sense, but some band already took that name, which I actually think is a great band name. I was thinking about probably some just band names that I think are very good. And I love Radiohead. I think it's a great band name. I think The Who is a tremendous band name. I think The Beatles is a great band name. Sonic Youth, and The Velvet Underground, all very cool band names. Do you have favorite band names? Call in. Let me know. Today we have a special show because we have a nice, long, in-depth interview with Toronto-based musician, artist, Slim Twig, the Twig himself. He's going to be playing tonight at the Media Club, so be sure to check him out. But we're going to kick it off with another person that I've interviewed, Colin Cowan, with his band The Elastic Stars, and we are going to play the song Beyond the Moon off of his May 2015 album Spring Myths. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. We just listened to the song. What song did we listen to? We listened to the song Star on the Ground by local favorites and Air Canada favorites, Energy Slime, off of their one and only album, New Dimensional. Energy Slime is Jay Arner and Jessica DeLeal, and somehow they are on the Air Canada. Air Canada has their little, I don't know, fun system television that's in front of you, TV computer thing, where which most people use to watch movies, sometimes TV shows. But I guess people forget to bring their iPods or Walkmen or Ponos, Zunes, MP3 players of a sort. Then you can use that little fun TV machine to listen to music. And one of the bands that they have there is Energy Slime, which is very bizarre. I think it's great, but it's like, how did that happen? Who does Energy Slime know at Air Canada? Like, what strings were pulled for that to happen? I want to know. I want to get in on it, but I'm very happy it happened. Hopefully more people think it's a funny name, it's a cool name, they like it, and they listen, and they dig it. So hopefully that happens. It's clubs days here at UBC, which means all the clubs from all around are packing the new sub, the new student union building, the AMS Nest. And I always find clubs days very amusing because I've gone every single year. This is my fifth year doing it. And I always find new clubs. I always see a club that I've never seen before and that highly interests me. So if you're a UBC student listening to this, check it out. There's also a ton of ridiculous clubs. Yeah, so I mean, that's really it. If you're around, go to clubs days. I'm also feeling much better than last week, as you might hear in my voice. And yeah, that's the updates here from your host. We are going to now listen to a song by The Twig, by Slim Twig, and go right into his interview. So the song we're going to listen to is called Fog of Sex, NSIS, in brackets NSIS, off of his new album, Thank You for Sticking with Twig. And yes, the song is one of the center points of the album. And again, he is playing tonight at the Media Club, so you should go if you can. And so right after that, we're going to listen to The Twig, and then we're going to have our interview with him. I hope you enjoy.
Thank you. much for doing this, the interview.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm happy to have the show promoted on the radio. It's awesome. Thank you for doing it.
All right. How's the tour going so far?
It's going pretty well. We're still kind of in the beginning stage and just sort of getting our feet wet with it, but it's great. I haven't traveled across Canada in a number of years now, and I haven't had a record that I've liked as much and has been so easy to facilitate really great and engaging live arrangements for to travel with. So having this record that and these people who can really interpret the songs in a really exciting way live has been great. And we're just kind of revving up, and by the time we hit Vancouver, I think we're going to be real hot.
All right. That's sweet. That's actually cool that you mentioned about the, like, how easy, I guess, it's been to play the album live, because the album, to me at least, it sounds like it's got a lot going on, and it seems like it wouldn't be the most easy sound to replicate.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of been the dilemma that I've been in, like, the whole time I've been making music, is making records that were really hard to translate in sort of faithful ways live. You know, luckily I'm just the kind of musician who really appreciates when the live sound is different from the record, because I think you're giving people an experience that is sort of its own thing and complementary to the record, but is its own kind of entity. So I do like that aspect of it. But certainly, I really had my work cut out for me in the past. You know, my earlier work was very sample-based, and I find it hard to bring a live show with kind of like a rock and roll energy with it, with samples. It's just hard to do. And then, you know, the album before last was a kind of orchestral narrative album, which was very difficult to come up with arrangements that were super convincing and live feeling. So I really struggled with that, and this is the first record that's, I think it's less to do with the production and arrangement, because I agree with you, they are both more on the kind of standard, for me, sort of complex side of things, or kind of involved, but the songwriting itself is a lot more direct and a lot more translatable to a live thing, and the energy is just something finally where I'm feeling a response from people that are seeing it happen live. More in the past, I think a lot of my sets have kind of left people a little bit cold, maybe a little bit more on the cerebral side or something, but this one has a lot of power to it.
Okay, so you're going for the heart, the gut, the dance floor, as well as the brain.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of that has sort of coincided with me embracing, like, an approach to being unashamed to say what I'm trying to do is rock and roll, basically, and, like, reach people through guitars and drums and a feeling that comes with that, and sort of taking that energy and sort of trying to do something modern and new with it, while still embracing the fact that we're trying to contribute to a tradition of music making. So it's, you know, walking kind of the boundary between, like, established rock stuff and the history of that, and trying to have my own voice within that, and still try and bring those kind of more cerebral aspects of my prior work to the table, blended with that kind of more gut-feeling rock and roll kind of impulse.
Okay. I was going to ask you about how the songwriting process worked for this album, because it varies. You know, you have songs that are more obviously rock and roll songs, then you have some, I guess, like, dronier, for lack of a better word, shorter songs. So, for example, how would the songwriting process look coming up with a song like Slip and Sliding, as opposed to a song like Out of My Mind?
Right. Well, you know, with this album, I had, like, some kind of songs that I felt were, like, anchor songs, like Slip and Slider, for example, or Fog of Sex, or Roll Red Roll, songs that sort of form the core of the album. So a song like Slip and Slide, that's sort of a rarity in my catalog, because I wrote that vocally. I had the lyrics and the kind of vocal melody and added the instrumentation to that foundation of kind of more a vocal approach which is more uncommon. You know, normally I work from basis of music first. But once I kind of established like the kind of core of the record as far as songs, I started thinking about how I wanted to present the album. And that's when, you know, other pieces like You Got Me Going and Out of My Mind and Trip Through Bells and the sort of instrumental elements come into play as far as like trying to create an experience for people who are listening to the album and try to take people on a journey, you know, from side A to side B, and having the right balance of cohesion also with trying to create a sort of diverse experience. You know, all of my records touch on a lot of different styles of songs or styles of music within the same album, and so I'm still kind of committed to not really staying in one place long enough for people to label me something as simple as a post-punk artist or a garage artist or whatever. You know, people want to put music in boxes, and as far as like, oh, I'm a shoegaze band, and I'm just totally opposed to that way of considering music and thinking about my own work. So I don't know if that answers the question, but that's sort of my approach.
No, that was great. It actually gave some insight. You know, there are a lot of albums that I love that I love in particular, like the minute or 2 minute sort of quieter pieces or different pieces that vary from it. I think they bring it all together, and so that was good to get your perspective on it. And I also I had written down here that Thank You for Sticking with Twig is a pretty eclectic album. That's the first line that I wrote down. So first I want to ask you like how it came about. Just when did it start, and what was the thing about? But also, as an eclectic album, I was wondering if you could expand on some of the themes that are uniting it.
From my perspective, the album is sort of about disenfranchisement a little bit, singing from sort of a perspective that is outside of the mainstream, I suppose. The album is kind of a collection of different issue-based stuff. I don't know, there's one song, Fog of Sex, which it kind of is about reluctance to conform to like a particular gender or something, which I see as kind of a metaphor for a lot of different things. There's another song about wage inequality, and then there are like songs that are more personal to do with my own situation and my own kind of personal and professional frustrations and stuff like that. So I kind of wanted to make an album that could kind of encompass all of those things, grievances on a large cultural and broad scale, as well as like personal ones that could even seem maybe egotistical or something. I just kind of wanted to capture a full kind of worldview of a sort of disenfranchised perspective. I guess that just ties in with my feeling of myself as some kind of underdog or outsider. So just embracing that outsider perspective is sort of what this album is about for me.
Yeah, no, that's great. I wanted to ask you actually about, you brought up gender, and it's something that I noticed in as well in the song and the album, so I want to ask you sort of how that came about to talk about gender, which seems to be an issue that has become a lot more that has actually entered a bit more of the mainstream, but also sexuality in a broad sense was also sort of I felt the theme of A Hound at the Hem. And so how in what ways do you think that you examine that subject, or that it influences your music, and that you want to express it in your songs?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's still kind of a mystery to me as well. I'm sort of discovering that about my work, that I keep returning to certain themes. Sexuality is definitely something that has plagued my work. I don't know if plagued is the right word, but I definitely fall within a, you know, tradition of artists. I don't think that's uncommon in pop music, where one of their main themes is talking about sex broadly. That's sort of like what I've been about in large part lyrically since I started making my work. And I've tried to address that in ways that are personal and try to avoid the kind of rote way that people address those kinds of issues. You know, and I think there's a weird culture of music right now that is almost a little too frank about certain things, and doesn't kind of, there's no mystery in people, the way they address those sorts of topics. So I've tried to keep the way I do that be a little bit shaded somehow, I don't know, couched in other kind of issues or themes or whatever. I may have lost the thread of your question a little bit here, but... what I'm trying to say basically is it's still a little bit mysterious to me why those are themes that keep really appealing to me and cropping back up in my work. But yeah, it's obviously something that has stuck with me for sure.
Yeah, no, it seems like it is a driving force, I mean, behind a lot of artistic endeavors in general. But as you mentioned, trying to address it from your own perspective or in more mysterious, different ways. With A Hound at the Hem, I read that it's based sort of in part on Lolita, the book.
Yeah.
And the Histoire de Melody Nelson by mm-hmm. Serge Gainsbourg, right?
I think, that album in particular, I was sort of trying to address the idea that one's sexuality can be sort of like a prison in some sense, just in the fact that it feels very uncontrollable, the sorts of things one might be attracted to or be seeking in their life. You know, we're in some sense, we're a product of our lives, and we don't have full control over that or full autonomy over our desire. So that was sort of the theme of that record. And I think that with this one, I've approached it from a different sort of perspective that's a little more personal and less kind of trying to tell someone else's narrative or try and develop a narrative over the course of an album. So when it crops up in three or four of the songs on the new record, from sort of a different perspective than that, but definitely it has a commonality with the prior record for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I also just think that is a very clever idea, or that makes total sense of combining Lolita with that album. Because I think, the themes in the two works, it makes sense. I thought, good job. I liked
it. Well, thanks. Yeah. I mean, my attitude right now towards music and the history of music is just that, you know, we're at such a post-modern place right now that we can't help but acknowledge all the things that have sort of, all the culture that is accumulated behind us. And so, you know, I thought it was kind of cheeky to have like an album that's based on an album that's based on a book, you know?
Yeah.
Why try and hide those things? Those pieces of culture exist in the world and they've discussed like issues that are very universal, and why can't there be albums that seek to discuss those same issues again, you know, through a slightly different prism? You know, everything is different as time goes on. Different pieces of culture strike people in different lights. So, that was my take.
No, totally. I think that's a very interesting way, and sort of one of the ways that I feel like music is always, or art in general, moves forward is through reexamination of certain topics, or even, you know, mechanical things that you're limited to in an extent, which I guess makes sense for you to be interested in that, since you have started out in with sampling, lots of stuff like that, right? But I actually, it seems like this album, you sort of are embracing the 70s a bit more than on previous albums, where it feels like the 60s are a big influence. So, how did you delve into the 70s, and is that a sort of decade or the music that was going on something that's interesting you now and that you'd like to explore further?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my music is always sort of a reflection of my journey through my cultural interests. So, you know, when my music was sort of adopting a lot of 60s influences, that's because I was sort of processing that music at the time. And, you know, so I guess there's sort of a logical extension from that. You know, once I felt that I had kind of got a handle on a lot of the 60s music and psychedelic music from that time, it was only natural to start, you know, moving chronologically forward in time and becoming interested in sort of the next era of music. So it's just sort of like my personal way of working through the history of music, which is, you know, one of my big concerns in my life is to try and discover as much music to like as possible. Yeah. So I'm just sort of completely omnivorous with my taste and always wanting to expand it. And I just go through ruts, you know, where I'm really focusing on certain eras or certain styles of music and gaining a lot of inspiration from certain things. And I just, you know, I don't really try and hide that too much. And I think it's sort of, you look beyond the point to try and pigeonhole something as being completely reverential to a certain era. I think that there are certain kinds of artists who try and have like a specific sound, like I was sort of talking about earlier with like bands that call themselves shoegaze bands or post-punk bands and rockabilly bands. And I just honestly, if you listen to my record and you have ears and you have some sort of like musical literacy, you'll see that's not what I'm trying to do exactly. I think that there's a lot of different moods and styles and ways of arranging and instrumentation and lyrical concerns that like plant my record firmly in a modern context. Is it influenced by the 70s? For sure it is. But I think it's sort of like, it's easy to dismiss things with a simple kind of like, oh, well, this is a bit of a pastiche. And that kind of exempts you from actually coming to terms with the real content of the album. Certainly stylistically and aesthetically, there's 70s stuff. But if you listen to and are aware of the content of the album, I think that my stuff is, you know, as modern as anyone, really.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. It's just, I feel in general that, and you mentioned it with the post, you know, how we're post everything, that it's hard to be, I think this is true of any era as well, that you can't, like, to be modern, you have to be in touch with what came before.
Right.
But, yeah.
Very true.
I also wanted to ask about another Serge Gainsbourg related thing that you chose the song Cannabis to cover on this album, and as a, I think possibly, well, definitely one of the focal points in the album, if not, you know, the focal point. At least when I listen to it, I love the cover, and it's a great song. So, how did that come about, the choice for that song?
Yeah, well, basically that song just kind of dovetailed with some of the other themes that I had on the record. You know, the title of it, Cannabis. One of the themes of the record was sort of the kind of way we hear music when stoned, and how it's kind of a parallel experience to hearing it straight. It's the same song, but you kind of have a different experience. You kind of get in touch with different layers of a song and different kind of ideas that are kind of hidden and embedded, and sort of like revealing those through some kind of substance use. Not that I would encourage that, but the idea of it to me is kind of interesting, that certain things can be kind of hidden in plain sight, in a sense, musically. So the title was something, also the idea, like he's kind of got sort of a Baroque sensibility in some of his stuff, where there's kind of like a classical music melodic element that is in play. And that was something that has been a kind of obsession of mine in my music over the past couple of years, is kind of folding a sort of Baroque melodic sensibility into like more of a pop kind of pop-centric approach to songwriting. Those two things, plus the fact that my last album and the first one that DFA reissued was, and I've had this sort of cosmic link with Gainsbourg, all those things kind of just led to my considering that I could do my own arrangement of the song and bring something new to the table with it, and something that could be really heavy and would just kind of dovetail nicely with a lot of the other themes on the record. And I like the idea of incorporating more instrumental work, and just basically loved the melody of the song and wanted to make my own arrangement.
Yeah. No, that's great. I think also it's interesting how one listens to music, how you understand songs or just pieces of music differently. Not only, you know, depending on what influence you're under, you know, chemically, mm-hmm. but also just like a state of mind or whatever. And it doesn't have to be something, you know, it's like, I'm feeling happy. Mm-hmm. I now understand yeah. this part of the song. It's like, I don't know. I've been listening, I've listened to the Beatles forever and mm-hmm. still now I listen to new songs and I notice like backing vocals that I'd never mm-hmm. noticed the like
yeah, well,
100 times before. And that can happen also depending on, you know, listening to music under a different state.
Yeah. Well, I think the cool thing about it is the chemical thing that I'm referring to is only one way to experience music on that level. And
yeah.
I encourage people to try and get to that level in a completely sober state, and you can do it. It just requires effort and engagement. It's like anything that's good in your life.
Yeah.
If you work hard at it and you engage with it, the resource that you derive from it is going to be greater. So I think if people listen to music and take music seriously and try to become literate in all kinds of different music, be it like psychedelic kinds of music or classical music or whatever, you only seek to deepen your understanding and appreciation for music. And
yeah.
that's just, you know, that's the goal of like people who are making music everywhere. We all want, you know, someone to take what we're doing seriously. And, you know, I hope that the kind of records that I make are the kind of records that pay dividends to anyone who really is willing to go deep with it and to engage with the actual content that's there.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think your records sort of demand it of the listener, which I think is not in a way of like that. I don't want it to sound like it's difficult or anything, but
no, I mean,
I think I can enjoy. Like I've listened to Thank You for Sticking with Twig a few times, and I've listened to it, you know, doing other stuff, and I enjoy it, I dig it. But when I was preparing for the interview, for example, I tried to listen to it and focus on it and get it, and I enjoyed it in a different way. So I think you're succeeding at least in that endeavor.
Well, thank you. You know, that's just how I listen to music personally, so I can't help but kind of make that. Try and create what I'm seeking in my own enjoyment of music in my own records, and so I think that's the result.
Yeah, yeah, and I also like the point that you made about listening to a wide variety of music,
mm-hmm.
because as that's something I've been trying to do too, and I feel that, you know, I can go back to the Beatles example. These songs that I listened to before, I'd listen to completely different types of styles of music than I was listening to 5 years ago. The music
yeah,
that I was
sure.
listening to 5 years ago gets a new dimension to it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But I want to ask you a couple more questions before, you know, I don't want to take up all your time.
Okay.
So you act as well, right?
I have done that, yeah.
Yeah. How do you, and also you directed at least one of your music videos that I saw, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you dabble in other forms of artistry, and how would you approach that creatively compared to music? So when acting or...
Well, that's, I mean, I guess it's related in some sense. Like I feel very comfortable in a sort of music environment, and the other stuff I don't feel as comfortable with, and a lot of it is sort of... been an offshoot of my musical work, you know, like directing music videos. I've done
yeah.
some of that, and that's sort of just been to kind of further my agenda with the music primarily. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've done a lot of writing and some visual stuff and stuff that isn't strictly music-based to kind of have as companion pieces to the music stuff, which is my focus. And the acting thing is just something that I kind of came up with that a little bit. My parents are involved with film, and you know, before I really discovered I wanted to be a musician, I didn't come from a crazy musical family or anything like that, so it was sort of a self-discovery. And before I made that self-discovery, I was more interested and involved with acting and stuff, so some of the work that I did was still kind of coming from that sensibility and that desire as a younger person. And and it was also a way for me to make some money in the past.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just a combination of factors, but I don't know. I like to try and structure my life to have opportunities to be as creative as possible. So I'm not, I don't want to shut that down to just doing music stuff. I'd like to try and do other things, and hopefully just try and become better as a creative person.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned a bit of discomfort doing other things, as, you know, when you're not in music. Do you ever try to bring that element into the music that you make when you approach trying to write music? Do you try and tackle, you know, elements that, you know, maybe you aren't that comfortable with?
Yeah, I mean, my whole process up to this point has been trying to expand what I'm capable of. You know, when I first was putting out records, like in 2008, 2009 on Paper Bag, I would say my facility with music stuff was not the best. I was still kind of evolving my craft, what I was interested in doing, how I wanted to do it. So what I will give myself credit with is sort of just jumping in and saying, I'd like to be able to produce music. I think I can try doing this. And sort of through trial and error, I think I've finally arrived at a point where I actually have some actual facility with it. And this album and the Hound of the Hem, the one before, are kind of the first two albums where, through doing things that made me feel uncomfortable and I didn't feel as if I had a complete hold on them, but still being willing to try them and put them out there, I think I finally arrived at actually feeling more confident as a songwriter and a producer and arranger and lyricist, all those things. Discomfort is an important part of the process, for sure.
All right. Thank you. I have a... fully related, I guess, to you making music question is, so you're from Toronto.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, does the scene, the geography there, how, I guess, did you grow up in Toronto?
Yeah, I was born there.
Yeah. I lived there as a kid. And, I was wondering how your relationship to the city and the scene in it sort of, you know, if you can take sort of a distance and look at how that's affected the music that you make. And then second question is, I don't know how much you know about the Vancouver music scene, but
right.
If you could make sort of, I don't know, I'd just like to know your opinion on it, not only in comparison, but as well as in comparison to the music scene in Toronto.
Okay, well, I can speak a lot more confidently about the Toronto scene, first of all. What I like about the Toronto scene and why I think I'm a good fit there is because I think it's sort of an anti-scene sort of thing where everyone is doing their own thing for the most part. And I think it's a city that just has enough resource and enough space and enough people and enough population that's able to support all kinds of different music things, and people can, you know, develop a reasonable amount of interest because there's enough people to like all kinds of different music. So I kind of like to not be a part of things. And I kind of, as you know, I was saying, my record is sort of about outsider status and disenfranchisement and these kinds of sort of singular qualities. And I relate to that and sort of seek that out. And I kind of desire being my own scene and having my music be its own kind of genre. And I think Toronto is a good city for that kind of approach. Vancouver, I wish I had a better answer for that. I've only played Vancouver, I think, twice before as a much younger person. So my experience is very limited there. But from what I gather, they have a very interesting scene. Actually, I'm really excited. The Vancouver show is one I'm most excited about on the tour because we're playing with a band called Energy Slum that I think are really cool. And Cosmetics, who I'm a fan of, are also involved in the show. They're DJing. So I know that you guys have a very diverse scene. And from what I can gather, it's probably pretty similar to Toronto in that there's a lot of different people doing different kinds of music. And there's a healthy amount of, like, outsider, experimental, weirdo kind of sounds happening in there. And I just think that's a great, you know, barometer of the health of a scene. If it can support bands that are doing something that's outside of the mainstream and finding a community for doing that, then I think, you know, the city is doing well.
Sweet. All right. Well, thank you for chatting with me.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. What was your name, by the way?
Eric.
Eric. Well, thank you for having me, Eric. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure. I'm going to air this interview Thursday on my show before your show. Quite a few hours before your show.
Right.
Here. And it happens that it's SoCan week for radio stations.
Right.
Which means that, do you know what that means? It's like,
I guess
bands, artists who are registered with SoCan get money for the songs that we play on there. And, I'm going to be playing one of your songs, so hopefully you'll get some money in the mail. I was wondering, do you have any Canadian, Canadian song that you would like, for me to play as well?
Song by another Canadian artist?
Yeah, by another Canadian artist.
Someone who's contemporary?
Yeah, preferably.
Okay. Wow, that's a good question. Who do I like that is Canadian? Can you, like, does it have to be in your catalog or whatever? No.
We can outsource.
Okay. Could you play a song by Zach Automat then?
Sure. Sure.
You probably have to maybe stream it or something like that.
Okay.
Is that possible?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, it's a Toronto band that I really like.
Okay.
They're spelled Z-A-C-H-T.
Okay.
Space, and then Automat is A-U-T-O-M-A-A-T.
Okay, sweet. And do you have any song in particular that you'd like to have played?
No, if you can find a song that you think is cool, I like all of their work, so anything.
Awesome. All right. I'll play one of their songs off your recommendation. Thank you very much. I've never listened to them. So.
All right. Yeah, check them out. You'll like them.
All right.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Have a great rest of the tour and the show.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it. The interview with the Twig. Thank you for sticking with A Face for Radio. And I hope you enjoyed that interview. I did say an incredible amount of times, but it was my first ever phone interview. It was a nerve-wracking experience. I wasn't sure if Max Turnbull, the Twig, would be a nice guy, but he turned out to be quite a nice guy, and I think he got an interesting interview there. Then, after that, on his recommendation, I played the song Don't Worry, It Will Be Fine by Zakt Automat, off of their album, Zakt Automat, the double LP that was put out on the Twig and U.S. Girls, his wife, Meg, her name, Meg Remy. So Meg Remy and Max Turnbull operate Calico Corp in Toronto, which is a record label of sorts, and they put out this compilation album of Zakt Automat releases, which is where we got the song Don't Worry, It'll Be Fine, which I think is a very funny song. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed. The show is coming to an end in a little bit. I have a couple more songs for you, though. So what we're going to do now is we're going to listen to a few ads, some PSAs. You know, you gotta eat your veggies. You can't just have dessert. So we're going to play that, followed by the song Pinball Baby by Late Spring, Vancouver band off of their self-titled EP. Our first ad, if any of you are in a band, is for Shindig. So if you haven't signed up yet, do it. All right, deadline's the 28th.
There's still time to apply to Shindig 2015. Compete in CITR's very own Battle of the Bands. Be a part of Shindig history and join past contestants like Japan Droids, Bond of Tigers, the Pack AD, Mystery Machine, and the Organ. Win studio time and track mastering, showcases at North by Northeast, Canadian Music Week, and Music Waste, and much more. All genres welcome. All we need is a 3-song demo and your contact info. Please email all submissions to shindig.submissions@gmail.com by midnight on Monday, September 28th. Be a part of Shindig 31.
Stressed lately? UBC Yoga Club is here to offer you a peace of mind. Come out to any of our 17 weekly classes running 7 days a week, ranging from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. We have a class to accommodate your needs and abilities. Check us out at ubcyogaclub.com.
Tune in every Tuesday from 8 till 9 p.m. for Inside Out with your hosts AJK and Zia for exciting new dance music.
Okay. The show is almost over, face heads. The show is a face for radio. I'm your host, Eric. And stay tuned to CITR. Unfortunately, Transition State is not up next because the host, Adam, is not feeling well. So take care of yourself. Lots of sickness going around. Make sure, bundle up. Don't go to bed with wet hair. And, you know, stay away from sick people. I mean, that sounded awful. And, you know, don't kiss sick people. Wait for them to get better. And sick with a cold or something, you know? Oh, you gotta watch your words. Anyways, that's about it for the show. We're gonna close it out with the song End of Nowhere by Ora Kogan. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned here on CITR 101.9 on your FM dial. Thank you. Have a great week.
And